You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to today's Nature Connection Show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner, and as many of you know by now, my passion is to help people live to their absolute best potential in the world. And my way of doing that, and what I share with others, is that when we align ourselves with the energy of the nature kingdom, and when we live our lives according to the seasons of the earth and alongside the seasons of the earth, then our well-being always increases. So in the Nature Connection Show, you always find out more about how to do that, and I interview very special guests who come on and share their specialities and their passions of how they work alongside the earth in many, many different ways. Today, as I record this show, we're actually experiencing full moon energies. So at this very heightened time of energy, it's a great time to think about how we share our gifts with the world. Now, we don't have to be ultra famous to do that. We can just be mothers, people who go out to work, touch people in all different ways. It's really about becoming the absolute best we can be, whoever we are, and doing the work that we came here to do in the easiest and most graceful way for all of us. So if this strikes a chord with you, please stay tuned, because I'm going to be talking about how we can use the full moon energies to allow us to really step out into the world and share of ourselves in this way. And I'm going to be sharing with you some flower essences that also can help you do that. So as on each week on the Nature Connection Show, I interview a very special person. Today is no exception. And my guest today is Sarah Jane Alexander. Sarah Jane is the author of Fairy Wisdom for Spiritual Evolution. And very shortly, she's going to be talking to you about how to take care of the planet in a better way, how we can really raise our awareness of what our pollution is doing to the planet. And all of her messages are all channeled from the fairy kingdom. So if this intrigues you, many of us have a love and a passion for fairies. So if you really want to tap into this energy and feel its reality, then stay tuned, as I will be talking to Sarah Jane very shortly. You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. And welcome back to the Nature Connection Show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio, and my name is Sarah Turner. Today I have a very, very special guest who I'm really excited to talk to. I'm speaking to Sarah Jane Alexander, who is author of Fairy Wisdom for Spiritual Evolution. Welcome to Nature Connection, Sarah.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, I'm excited to speak to you, as I am with all the guests that come onto this show, but particularly as I work with the Fairy Kingdom myself in the work that I do with flower essences. So it's very special to have somebody like you who is standing up and speaking so directly about this unseen world to most people.
Thank you. This is very important for the evolution of humankind in general. So it is important that we do have these discussions, because so much of our existence is pure energy. So what I mean by that is this is energy that we do not observe with our eyes. We have to remember that what we view with our eyes is coming at a certain vibrational and physical wavelength, but a lot of the energy that is in existence, period, we cannot see with our eyes. So a prime example is we don't see music, we hear it, but also on a more subtle level, if you are in tune with another person, you know how they're feeling, sometimes without them even being in the same room with you. So energy is everywhere and it is everything. And what we see with our eyes is just a very small percentage of what is going on.
Absolutely. So that's a lovely way to introduce your passion and the world that has come around you through the fairies. So people listening may be wondering a little bit about how you came to be doing this. So tell us a little bit about your path to actually writing your book, being open to listening to these messages.
Okay, well, it began when I was very young. So I'm not sure exactly how old I was, but I would guess somewhere about 3 to 5 years old. And I believe that probably most children that young are very open to having what we would call psychic experiences and believing in what many people might think are mythical beings. And of course, I believed in fairies. And so I saw 3 fairies one day in a bush in my neighbor's yard. And I knew in that moment without a doubt that they existed. In fact, I had no doubt up until maybe I became much older how do I want to say? I don't want to blame society by any means, but you begin to shut down sometimes psychically. And so I had this beautiful experience where I saw them. And I also had an experience that many people have, is that you do shut down psychically. And there are different reasons that this happens. And sometimes there may be pain and trauma, which was the case with me. I didn't have a very happy childhood, but I'm very happy to say that my experiences of surviving some emotional and other forms of trauma have led me to a much happier place where now I'm also able to relate with compassion to other people who may experience the same type of things. So I was able to grow as a person. And when I got on my spiritual path again, or I would like to say my conscious spiritual path, because aren't we all on spiritual paths? So when I reignited my passion for spirituality and I began reading books about just all sorts of different topics and exploring that part of myself that had shut down, I began to open up again psychically. And so, you know, the typical route, meditation and everything like this, beautiful music and taking some classes. And so after I took a class with Doreen Virtue, I had a very magical experience where I could feel energy pouring into my crown chakra, okay? And so I was dancing, and any fairy will tell you that dancing is therapeutic and an absolute necessity for being happy. And so Doreen and her band had a little concert that night, and I was very open psychically from having experiences in the class that day, but I felt this energy. It was so strong. I could feel it physically, and my eyes were not even able to open. The energy was so strong. All I could do was download this energy. The best word I can think of to describe it is I was just downloading the way a computer would download a file. And after that experience, I felt the fairies beckoning me, asking me to work with them and to write a book. And I had always known that I'd wanted to write books. However, my fantasies of writing books were romantic, and I was going to write these best-selling fiction novels and be creative in that way. But I decided I'm going to take a chance here and just listen to the fairies. And so I utilize a process called automatic writing, in which I write a question that I have for the fairies. And many times the questions that I wrote were about topics that I felt they were guiding me to ask about. So in other words, things that they wanted to discuss. Okay, so I would write a question, and then I would just type whatever response I was hearing. And so then I would receive the answer. Now I have the question and the answer, and many times that answer would lead to another question. And 2 years later, I had a book. And I also feel that my whole life had come to this point in an organized manner that I didn't anticipate, because I also have a highly analytical mind, and in my other job, I am an editor, and so I studied journalism in college, so I understand a lot about communication, and I feel that this has served me in my spiritual work, and so I feel that it all is interconnected, and so I would just like to briefly say that if there is anybody out there listening to this who feels driven to take a more spiritual turn in their life, but they haven't gotten there yet, it's never too late. And it needn't be something that is overwhelming, because my book began with one word, right? So your journey can begin with the smallest action, but even more importantly than action is being open.
Absolutely. And that's what we're doing here, isn't it? By talking in this way, is opening up those systems or channels for people to actually just begin to believe that beings such as fairies are real. And that's maybe something we can have a little talk about, because everybody knows about fairies from fairy tales.
Yes.
Tinkerbell. In Peter
Pan, very popular, yes.
is most people know, and everybody loves. Everybody loves Tinkerbell. Let's explore how we can take the fairy kingdom from the mythical into real life. And I think that's what you're doing, Sarah.
Yes.
Is by speaking so honestly and openly like this. So how do we know that they are real? Can you help here?
Well, my instinct, and I'm just going to go with that, is how you feel. Because as we started this conversation, there's so much more than what we see. And you can just know something is true within your heart. So anybody who believes in fairies just knows that they're real. And obviously there's no way for me or anybody besides the fairies to deliver any physical proof. Well, I can say that with a condition, however. They will communicate in a couple of ways. And so one way to open up to realizing the reality of fairies, I guess you could say, is to communicate with them. And so I briefly described automatic writing. And so this is something that anybody can do. And another way is to communicate with them telepathically. So you can just simply think a message to them. So you can think, okay, fairies, this is what I'd like to say to you today. And you can just have a telepathic conversation with them. And so I would suggest that if you do wish to converse with them telepathically, that you would be in a relaxed state of mind and a place that is relaxing. And the best place would be nature, but if you don't have access to nature, or, you know, it's a cold day and you don't want to go outside, it's not necessary, because this is pure energy. So it transcends space and time. It doesn't matter where you are. Now, the second way that they will make themselves known to you is through leaving you signs or symbols. And so the universal symbol of a fairy is mushrooms. And many fairy believers whom I've spoken to tell me they find mushrooms in unlikely places, and lots of them. And this has been my experience as well. And that began during the process of my writing my book and publishing my book. And the process was arduous. It really was. And there were some days when I was just thinking, oh my gosh, this is so hard. And it was like they would leave me signs. I would find mushrooms in my house plants. I would go out on my patio, and I live in a desert. It would be 100-degree day or hotter, and there would be dozens of little mushrooms growing in my zinnias.
Wow.
So if you're a person who would like these types of symbols, and they've also said that they will work with the symbol of your choice. So if you are really open and it doesn't matter to you, they'll probably send you some mushrooms. But let's say that there is some other natural symbol that you really resonate with. Just let it be known to them that this is the one that I would like to work with. And so I mentioned a natural symbol because they are very concerned about environmental desecration. And so to them, man-made objects represent the desecration of the planet, because the vast, vast majority of man-made products are made in ways that create pollution. And so they do not have any interest in working with a symbol that is created by man. But if you like certain flowers or types of trees or leaves and so on, that is something that they would be willing to work with.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. And I know one of your passions is helping people to realign with nature. So let's talk a little bit about that now, and how the fairies can actually help us do that for ourselves, actually realigning with nature for ourselves, just as how you've been describing, but also their great passion in helping to heal our planet, which is very much what your book is about, isn't it?
It is. That's primarily what it's about. And so the title, Fairy Wisdom for Spiritual Evolution, basically sums up how they want to give us information at this time that we can use to grow spiritually. And the basis of it all is to return to the old ways of interacting with the planet. And so this would mean embracing nature for healing. So natural remedies, such as what you do, Sarah, and foregoing anything chemical. So this would include chemical treatments, drugs, whatever you wish to call it, chemicals in food, basically anything that is an unnatural chemical, the fairies would suggest that we shy away from and return to ways of healing and simply being that are in alignment with nature. And so nature, for example, doesn't have preservatives in its food, so they would encourage us to eat food that comes directly from the planet instead of a lot of the foods that we have today have a lot of preservatives and food coloring and things like that. And so these chemicals are detrimental not only to the planet, but to ourselves. And so that's one of the points that fairies would like us to remember, is that we are connected to the earth to the point where there is no separation. So what is done to the earth is also done to us. And it's the highest and best state of living that we can embrace for every aspect of our health, spiritual, mental, physical, is to return to the earth and only to the earth. And so to avoid things that are man-made, because it is detrimental not only to the planet, but to ourselves on many levels.
It's highly practical, this advice, isn't it?
It is. It's practical and simple.
Yeah. Yes. So talk to us a little bit about Oberon, because I have a feeling he would like to be mentioned. Many people might not know who Oberon is.
I will tell you the story of how I came to be reacquainted with Oberon. And so I began channeling my book by asking questions of the fairies. And at first, I wasn't certain who I was talking to, except a fairy entity or perhaps a fairy mass consciousness. I wasn't sure. So then I asked, I said, "With whom am I speaking?" And he said, "My name is Oberon and we have met." And so then the conversation carried on and I said, "Okay, well, thank you." And I closed the session with him for the day. But I felt curious because the name seemed familiar to me, but obviously this is not a common name in today's world. So I looked it up on the internet. And what did I see but Oberon throughout history is named as the king of the fairies. And I just got the hugest wave of goosebumps from head to toe. And I started sobbing with joy because I was like, this is really happening. I am really connected to this realm. This is happening. This is really real. It's not that I had a doubt before, but it was like the biggest confirmation that I could possibly receive, because if I were to pull a name out of a hat for anybody, it wouldn't be Oberon. You know, it just came to me. And so I was like, my gosh, this is going on right now. So he is, obviously he's the king of the fairies, and they don't have kings and presidents the way that we do, in the respect that they are to be obeyed and they have the final word and all of this. The elders in the fairy world, I guess you could say, which he definitely is, are looked to for leadership and guidance, wisdom and compassion. So this is a role that he embraces and his kingdom embraces for him, because the fairies, I don't want to say the underling fairies, but how do I say? I guess the general fairy population looks to him for guidance. So it's a very loving relationship. It's not based on hunger for power at all.
Brilliant. I know what you mean about the name being familiar. And I think many listeners will probably have that sense too. I get that feeling, is that we do know this name. We've just not connected or remembered.
Right. And I was stunned to see that this is the name of the fairy king in A Midsummer Night's Dream, is it, by Shakespeare?
Yes.
So this is old. This lore, or however you wish to call it, this information has been around for a long time.
And yes, so there we go. Yes. It's entirely possible that other people who have written great scripts also knew of something that possibly that they didn't make explicit.
Right. And one thing that he touches upon is that humans used to have a more open relationship with fairies. In other words, they weren't seen as mythical beings. They were seen. They were actually seen, and they were just accepted as existing. However, human thought and action has shifted across time, and now we're much more consumer driven. We are concerned with amassing wealth and power, and in doing so, the earth has become desecrated as we seek toys and certain pleasures that create pollution. And as this has happened, the connection between the human and fairy realm has been broken. And the reason that the fairies are wanting this connection to be healed so urgently right now is because the planet needs to be healed. He says repeatedly that we're at a tipping point where we're making decisions now that are going to have lasting effects on how the Earth evolves and how humankind evolves.
Mm-hmm. So the time is now to...
The time is now. And we see the shift is happening, Sarah, through you doing your work and others like you doing your work. And people are turning to eating raw foods and vegan foods. And so a shift is happening. They would like to see the pace speeded up significantly, however.
Yes. Yes, and that's what your work is about, isn't it? And I find in the work that I do, and it's very relevant to obviously our conversation now, is that in the last couple of years I've noticed a big shift happening, and people are starting to hear messages. I have conversations with people quite often who say things like this, you know, for example, they will begin conversations saying, I haven't shared this with anybody before. When I was a child, I used to speak to flowers. And now,
right.
And then I forgot. And now, you know, I'm much older, 40s, 50s. And the flower kingdom is speaking to me again.
Yes,
I
absolutely.
I hear this kind of conversation quite frequently. So,
right.
To me, the fairy kingdom is very, very present in all of that, because, of course, the fairies are the keepers of the flowers.
That's right, and all of nature. And so it's important that you and I are having this conversation, but also in general, it's important for people to talk about, I guess, what you would call the unseen world, because I believe that many people feel that they are alone in their beliefs and observances and experiences. And it's absolutely not true. It's just that we're not having these discussions. So people feel isolated and I'm sure somewhat fearful to talk about these things. I did experience some fear. I wasn't sure how people would receive my work. And there came a point where I just had to say, you know, doing this is more important than living in fear of judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure your life has opened up magically since you took that decision.
Oh my gosh, I've had so many wonderful, magical experiences. And overall, what I can say is that I'm much happier as a person standing in my truth. And also, I've found that as I'm happier, I attract happier people. So my life experience has just gotten so much more joyful because I'm living with integrity, with who I am. And then here come all these wonderful people into my life, sharing their stories with me, supporting my business. It's absolutely been a wonderful journey, and I believe it will continue to be more and more wonderful every day. And I would love it if everybody had this experience where when they choose to express who they truly are, they will find that what we call magical experiences happen every day.
Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. Wonderful to hear you say that. Now, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to share with everybody how they can find your book and how to get hold of it. But before we do that, I know that you have a bonus chapter in your book which gives recipes for natural products, and I was wondering if you could share one of those with us today.
Absolutely. So The first thing that I would like to say is that, yes, I do have the last chapter in my book is recipes for body care and cleaning your home that are non-toxic. And so if you don't want to read about fairies, but you're interested in this, I believe that the purchase price would be well worth it just for the amount of money that you can save using these products, because they're very, very, very simple and inexpensive. And so that being said, I think I would like to discuss cleaning, because everybody wants a clean house, right? Yeah. And so one of the most simple things that anybody can use in their home to clean, well, there are actually three very simple ingredients, and they can be combined or used alone. Vinegar, okay, so this is distilled white vinegar. This can be used for many things. Baking soda and liquid Castile soap, okay? So I'll briefly say that baking soda can be used on a damp sponge. And so you just put it on your sponge, and then you scrub your sink, and then you rinse the sink out, or your bathtub, whatever you're cleaning, your countertops. And so you want to make sure to rinse it, because it's white. It leaves a white residue if you don't rinse it. And so this can get your sink wonderfully clean, sparkly. And I know there are products out there on the shelf that you can buy to do this that are much more expensive, and they contain the toxic chemicals that drive fairies mad. And so you have to understand, anything that you use in your home is likely going to end up on you somehow, especially if you're cleaning and you're not using gloves. So if you're using chemical products, you're probably getting them onto your skin, breathing them, and whatever goes down the drain, now it's going into our water system. So we need to be careful about this. I will give one other recipe that's actually a mixture of two of the items that I mentioned. So this is a soft cleaning scrub that you can use for things that might need a little bit more help coming up. For example, the two ingredients are 2 tablespoons of baking soda and 1 tablespoon of organic liquid Castile soap. So you mix these two together into a paste, and then using a damp sponge, you work the mixture into the cleanup surface. And so the soap adds a little bit of a cleaning boost, because as I mentioned before, you could just use the baking soda to clean your sink. But if you feel like there's some dirt that needs to come up to on, you know, your counter or whatever the case may be, or I could use it on my stovetop too to clean your refrigerator, whatever. So the liquid Castile soap helps to give it that extra cleaning boost. And so then you would go over this with a damp sponge or a cloth to make sure that all of the baking soda residue comes up.
Brilliant. They're lovely. That's a really, really lovely, very practical. And this is what I love about the Nature Kingdom, that it is,
yes,
this is just so highly practical. So as you say, if people listening, this is new to them, and believing in fairies is not quite where they're at right at this moment, mm-hmm. but we're opening the door here to,
yes,
to greater things coming. How wonderful, yeah, to be able to put some of this into practice, which is so very, very practical. So thank you. So yeah, tell everybody how to get hold of your book, because I'm sure there's loads of people just itching to find out more.
Well, one of the places to buy it is my website. And so my website is divineguiding.com. And so the orders that go through my website can be mailed to the United States. Now, I know you have some international listeners, so I will say that my book is also available on Amazon, and it is available on the Amazon Kindle format, and it is also available on Barnes & Noble's Nook format. So that's how international listeners can get it. And so they would need to have tablets to download this.
Brilliant.
E-readers. Mm.
And how wonderful your journalist self has enabled all of this to come together.
Yes, I was a frustrated artist, I guess you could say. I had fear, and you know, there's part of me that feels a little bit, or perhaps used to feel a little bit of shame for doubting myself and the process of allowing success to come to me. And I really, in college, I did want to study words, but I also wanted to study art, and I didn't study art because I had this profound fear of being a starving artist, because I grew up in poverty and it's no fun. And so I was going to college to educate myself out of poverty, and I said, all right, well, I am talented in the language arts, so I'll go ahead and study this. But if I had a do-over, I would probably study both. Mm. So perhaps I'm just sharing this for anybody out there who's maybe not following their bliss out of a sense of I won't be able to succeed or I won't be supported, because it has been my experience since I've begun this journey that things unfold beautifully, perfectly, and magically if you believe that they can and will. But I didn't have that belief system in place when I was a young person making those decisions. Mm.
And I think it's one of the words that often comes up in the same sentence as fairies, isn't it? I know.
Yes, it is.
It's the word believe. So it seems to me like a perfect message that we all do need to believe.
Absolutely.
Trust and believe in ourselves.
I think the word comes up because most people don't have their psychic vision developed to the point where they see fairies. So you do have to embrace this sense of believing, but we do it every day in so many different ways. You know, we believe that people around us love us and will support us. And that's not a physical thing. Sure, there are things that happen that support this belief, but it's just an example of something that's, you can't grasp it or look at it, but you know it's there. You know your family and your friends love you. You believe it. And so it is with the fairies.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sarah, for sharing with us today. And I encourage everybody to go to Sarah's site. Was it divineguiding.com?
It's divineguiding.com. And the name of the book is Fairy Wisdom for Spiritual Evolution.
And as you say, also available on Amazon. So very, very accessible. So thank you, Sarah. Sarah, thank you for coming on the show today, to sharing with us about your passion and how you have made your own life evolve and sparkle, sharing the messages of Oberon and how we need to take care of our planet and practical ways of doing that.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. And I'd like to invite your listeners to join me on Facebook. If they're there, they can do a search for Sarah Jane Alexander. And I am on Twitter at Fairy Messenger.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you for having me, Sarah.
You're welcome. And thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. And welcome back to the Nature Connection Show. My name is Sarah Turner and you're listening to Natural Health Radio. In this part of today's show, we are going to be talking about the full moon, as I'm recording this during a full moon period, and looking at how we might plan our days, our weeks, our months according to the lunar calendar, and why that might be helpful to us. So you might know that one of my interests and passions even is actually living my life according to the seasons, and I use both the actual calendar seasons and the lunar cycle to actually help myself and others through the Flowerescence practice and the diploma that I run to live our lives according to these cycles. To me, it makes complete sense that we would try to go upstream with the energies surrounding us rather than fight against something. For example, between new moon and full moon, the waxing moon time, as the moon is growing bigger, this is a great time to actually put energy into products, to birth things that are new, and to take ourselves out into the world. So aligning ourselves with the cycle actually means doing those kinds of activities, whether on a personal or professional level, at those times. And then as the moon begins to get smaller again, as what we call the waning phase of the moon, this is really time to reflect and to become a little bit more inward and to see how we can improve things for the next cycle. So we're actually contracting ourselves back inwards again as the moon goes down. So as an example, if we were to do very outward activities such as sharing ourselves with the world more boldly during the waning, contracting time of the moon, you can see that we're actually going against those energies at those times. Now, obviously, it's much larger than that, and there are many, many different factors we need to take in account. And yes, obviously, we need to share of ourselves and do outward activities on all different days of the moon cycle. But if we have a choice, and if we can do these kinds of things with awareness and consciousness, then life can be much more easeful and graceful. So as I'm always interested in the moon and her cycles, I was reading the other day that this particular full moon, which is taking place on January the 16th, is the farthest full moon from the Earth for this year, 2014. And the moon is our nearest star to our Earth, and we see her, we're so used to seeing her in the sky, and she is much nearer than many of the other stars that we see in the sky. But how near is near? So it was interesting to me, and I actually noted down these figures, that on January the 16th, the moon will be 406,532 kilometres away from the Earth. Or if you think in miles, that's 252,607 miles from the Earth. So that gives us a little idea, doesn't it, of this wonderful white shining globe that we see in the sky, that we very much take for granted, of how near she is, or as is it might feel, how far she is. And it's interesting, isn't it, that sometimes we see the full moon and she does feel very near, and yet sometimes she looks much smaller in the sky. And that is because that actually does happen. So this, if you're lucky enough to be able to see the full moon this lunar cycle, then she will be fairly small in the sky. So my own interest in the moon has been with me for many, many years, and my own range of fluorescences called moon fluorescences is actually used. I use moon water in the preparations. And last night, as the moon was almost full and we had a very clear sky here where I live, I did actually put a bowl of water outside and was charging some of the moon water that I use in my essences. And when I went outside to get the bowl late at night before I went to bed, I spent some time just standing in my garden and gazing up at the moon, and then carried the bowl of water inside and prepared it in the normal way so that I can use it over the next few months in the essences. But also kept a little bit back for myself, shared it with my partner, and actually drank some of the moon water before we went to sleep, and it's a really nice way to connect back with those energies and to allow the moon energies to actually become, to be assimilated into our energy systems. So it's interesting because I make moon fluorescences in moonlight, and my fluorescence range is being used by more and more people now to actually hear from others how they feel the differences are from essences that are made in moonlight than in sunlight. And somebody that used my essences shared with me something that I'd like to share with you, which was very helpful for me to understand how the essences in moonlight can help us. And she said that when we open our up, when we go outside in moonlight, we can actually see, we can open our eyes much more easily than we can in sunlight. So this really helped me to see that the full moon, its purpose on a more energetic, spiritual level is to shine its light into the darker areas. So on full moon evenings, for example, we can see the world around us is illuminated by the moon. So on an energetic level, if we use the moon to help us be in the world, then at this time, the full moon time, it is, we are able to see into previously dark, invisible, or the shadow sides of ourselves. So as this person shared, the moonlight essences have this energy of actually being able to shine light into areas that we couldn't see before. And at this time, we can open our eyes, our energetic eyes, to actually be able to see those things at other times that we may not have been open or ready to receive those messages. So at this time, the energies are really supporting us to be our absolute best. And if there was a question that you could ask yourself at this full moon time, the question would be something along the lines, how can I possibly be the best I can be? What aspects of myself do I need to grow, to let go of, so that I can be the best version of me I can possibly be in my life? So if that question resonates with you at this full moon time, if this is when you're listening, you might like to just take a note of that question or hold it in your consciousness and actually just allow the answers to come back to you. It might be a nice thing to do if you can see the full moon from your window, or if you can actually just go and stand in your garden or go out for a walk in the evening when the full moon is rising and just hold that question. How can I be the best version of me that I can possibly be in the world, and allow the moon to shine some light into the areas of you where you can grow into the best version of you, and also let go of any parts of you that are no longer needed. So the full moon in many circles of energy is also known as the mother energy. So if we look at the more pagan religions, the Celtic religions, it's actually seen as the mother phase. And many women do indeed experience their menstrual cycle in tandem with the moon. And for women who have irregular cycles, many people do believe that if we can sleep with the curtains open at this time of the month and actually allow the moon, the light of the moon, to shine while you're sleeping, then it can actually help cycles become more regular. And my experience has been that with the people that I've worked with, have had the privilege of sharing this information with, is that if we can just literally connect with the moon cycles and know on each day when the moon, which phase she is at, it can be extremely balancing for the psyche, and particularly for the female psyche and her physical cycles. So during this full moon mother phase, it is a time when we may wish to reflect upon and observe how we are more able to be more selfless in the world. So at the darker times of the moon, when we are more inward, we may well be more occupied with ourselves, with aspects that are happening in our lives that trouble us or worry us. And as the full moon rises, and particularly at the full moon times, it's a time when we're more able to be outwards and to actually connect with others in a more selfless way. So literally share ourselves with others. And so therefore, any aspects of ourselves that is troubling us may diminish in our own minds and our own worlds. It's a great time to think about nourishment and how you nourish yourself. So you can use that on a very physical level as to the diet that you have, the foods that you choose to eat, how well you nourish yourself. And then emotionally, how well you nourish yourself, how you can nurture yourself in the world, and just give yourself those small treats. The other morning, I was pondering this question myself, and so I took myself off and really asked myself that question: how can I give myself a more nurturing experience right at this moment? And being a great lover of essential oils, I gave myself a facial with rose essential oil, with some products that I have that I made myself. Now, that just took just a couple of minutes, but it completely changed how I was feeling and really allowed me, just for those couple of minutes, to bring some nurturance and some nourishment into my life. So if that again gives you an idea of what this kind of moon, this time of moon cycle, and how it can help you. So again, it's a time of nourishment, nourishing the self and others as we give of ourselves. It's also a great time because it represents the mother time of giving birth. Now, this may actually be physical birth, but more likely for those of us listening, it's going to be what aspects of you can you give birth to right now? So this can be projects, ideas, inspirations. And it's fairly well known that for many at the full moon time, we're more able to be creative and to be inspired. So if there's something that you need to do, some writing that you need to do, let's say you're creating something for your business and you have to write a blog or some newsletters, or you've got to create some labels or write essays for your studies, it might be an idea, if it is at all possible, to look into your diary and actually plan out some time over the full moon period of any lunar cycle when you could actually have the time to do these aspects, because you may well find that they will flow much more easily for you. So it's a time as well that we may find that we are better able to magnetize ourselves into the world, and therefore business aspects or personal aspects, going out and meeting people and just allowing people to see us in the world is much easier at full moon times. So if this is of interest to you and makes sense to you, my training company, Essentially Flowers Training, is actually launching a Manifesting with the Moon 29-day online journey on the 30th of January of this year, 2014. This will be the second new moon of 2014, and also coinciding with the Chinese New Year of the Fire Horse. So it's a very powerful portal, and during these 29 days we will actually be meeting together. It's a course actually going through the different cycles of the moon. There will be two live calls connecting on new moon and setting intentions, and then also during the waning phase of the moon, as the moon goes back down again, there is another live meeting. We will be learning about flower essences, gem essences, and mostly just connecting to those lunar cycles and taking advantage of this wonderful yang energy as we go into spring in the northern hemisphere, the uprising energies, really stabilizing any new moon intentions that we made at the beginning of January, and keeping that alive for ourselves and connecting with the moon, with the group energy. Because as I'm sure you know, when we do anything alongside other people, then the energy of that is amplified. So if you are interested in that, please pop along to my essentiallyflowers.com site and look under the courses tab, and you will see the Manifesting with the Moon program launching on the 30th of January. So very finally, let's just look at a flower essence that can help at this time of year and this time of the month. It can be used, of course, at any time of year and any time of the lunar phase, but it's a flower that very much depicts this outward phase that I've been describing, that is full moon. And the flower essence that I'd like to share with you is buttercup flower essence. So many of you will be familiar with this fairly small, bright yellow flower that comes up in the spring and shows her golden flowers during the summertime. For many, which always makes me feel a little bit sad, the buttercup is seen as a weed. But I actually love the buttercup, and we allow them to grow as they wish to grow in a certain part of their garden. So when I was a child, and I think this may be connected to living in certain parts of the world, but the buttercup was always connected to childhood. And as children, we would pick buttercups and shine them under each other's chins. And we always said that if you could see the golden light, which of course you always could if the sun was out and if there was enough light, that you enjoyed butter. So you may actually remember that yourself. It's quite a fun memory to connect back to. So buttercup is a flower essence. She has the most beautiful golden yellow light, and she does indeed shine very, very brightly. But we really need to look at the whole flower, the whole plant, to give us an idea of the flower essence. One of the reasons that buttercup grows so well in people's gardens, far too well for many people, is that she has a very extensive root system. So next time you see a buttercup, actually take a look at her roots as well. So that's one of the reasons why she grows so well in people's gardens, because she's actually quite difficult to dig up because her root system is so extensive. So this little tiny little chalice-like cup flower sits upon a fairly long stem for her size and goes down into, again, is held at the bottom by quite large leaves compared to the size of her flowers. So you'll see that she's extremely well rooted, and her stem, although not very big, you don't see them breaking very often. If the wind blows, that they usually still stay intact. So this tells us an awful lot about buttercup as a flower essence, in that she can help us transcend, overcome any dark periods of our lives and really rise above with this very strong root system. So she gives the security and the stability to really hold strong to ourselves and allow these beautiful yellow cups to rise up. And of course the cups represent ourselves, our gifts, and our ability to shine them into the world and just be aware and proud of who we are, allowing us to be exactly who we are, exactly the color we are, exactly the shape we are, and just to be ourselves and to shine that light into the world. Now, there are quite a few different ranges of flower essences that make buttercup. My own range, Moon Flower Essences, that you can find on moonfloweressences.com, make a buttercup essence. And there are other ranges too that you will be able to find if you Google them, and maybe more accessible depending on where you live in the world. So we're coming to the end of today's Nature Connections show. I really hope that you've enjoyed today's show and that you enjoyed listening to Sarah Jane Alexander talking about the wishes of the fairies and their wish to work alongside us to help our beautiful earth sustain herself in the best way for us all. I hope you'll enjoy Join us again next week for another Nature Connection show on Natural Health Radio. So I wish you many full moon blessings and much joy and abundance in your life. Until next week, bye-bye.